Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In a couple minutes, we will finish the program we recorded yesterday in Toledo, Ohio on WPOS with host Mark Siffer about Dr. Dobson's comments on the radio yesterday that it's wrong to criticize him for continuing to celebrate the partial birth abortion manual written by the U.S. Supreme Court that explains that you could legally kill late-term babies, and here's all the different ways of doing it. And Dr. Dobson said to Gianna Jessen, an abortion survivor, he said, I don't understand. Could you believe that people are criticizing me for supporting this partial birth abortion manual? Well, I'm sorry, he didn't call it a manual, but it is a manual. It explains that partial birth abortion is still legal, and you could pull the baby out to the belly button and kill it, or you can kill it with lethal injections, or you could kill it different ways. And so we will continue with that in a moment. But first this, we've been pointing out that the new God, idols, idolatry, you can make new gods. And the new God of the Christian right is beat Hillary. That's the new God. And whatever we have to deny, whatever devil we'd have to embrace, as long as he will help us beat Hillary, we'll do it. So if it requires denying Christ, if it requires dancing with the devil, and quite often it's the devil's game, as Alan Keyes points out. He has two really wicked supporters, and he puts an ugly face on one. And so then the gullible Christians say, well, we support the other. He's our man. And so here is Bob Jones III, endorsing Mitt Romney for president. I guess he likes Massachusetts liberal liars who are radically pro-homosexual and pro-abortion. Bob Jones, Dr. Bob Jones III, chancellor of the Fundamentalist Christian University in Greenville, South Carolina, the school that bears his name, and of course the Christian homeschool curriculum and so on, he said he is endorsing Mitt Romney for president. Aside from the fact that Mitt Romney is a Mormon, and the Mormons, to describe their beliefs, it sounds like you have entered into a cartoon Twilight Zone world. But aside from believing in many gods, an enormous number of gods, aside from believing that Mormons will become gods and be worshipped, just as Jesus Christ is worshipped, aside from beliefs like that, he is radically pro-homosexual, and he is a child killer, and he lies about becoming pro-life in November of 2004. That's all a lie. He says it was during a conversation with a stem cell researcher at Harvard, and that researcher has said Mitt Romney is lying about their conversation. And after that supposed epiphany, that conversion, he appointed a well-known Democratic pro-abortion judge to a district court in Massachusetts. And he has made public statements 6 months later. He said he supports the status quo on abortion rights, which means the right to kill your child. So he is a liar, but he's a Republican who decided to run for president, and they know the routine. The routine is you lie. You're a pro-abort as an adult. You're married to a pro-abort. You have a pro-abort history. But when you want to run in the Republican primary, you become pro-life. And it's a lie. So Mitt Romney is a liar. He is a liar. He is a pro-abort. And Christians like to be lied to. And so here's what Bob Jones III said in this interview with Ron Barnett. He's with the Greenville News in South Carolina. He said, this is all about beating Hillary. beating Hillary, and I just believe that this man has the credentials, both personally and ideologically, to do it. Okay, so it's all about beating Hillary. Actually, it's all about obeying God. It's all about obeying God, not being a fool, not being evil, not doing what is wrong in hopes that good might come of it. Don't do evil, that good may come of it. So here are Christians being lied to, and then they're shocked as the culture becomes increasingly godless. And they wonder, how could this be happening when they have been behind the campaigns and the laws and the slogans that are destroying the moral foundation of the body of Christ in America? So it's a real tragedy. Let's continue now with the interview from yesterday. I was interviewed in Toledo, Ohio, on WPOS, a station that's been broadcasting there for 40 years, and it's about this whole issue. So let's join Mark Siffer, the host at WPOS, and Bob Inyart. And so Ron Paul, like Antonin Scalia, like Clarence Thomas, they are pro-choice state by state. Their position, Ron Paul's position, he's running for president. He's had a long-time relationship with the Libertarian Party. He believes that the states have the right to decide whether or not they're going to stop the killing of unborn children. And, of course, that's false. They don't have that right to decide that.
Yeah. Now, what they cite is the Constitution saying that in the 10th Amendment that the things not contained herein are left up to the states.
Mm-hmm.
And for politicians who claim to run as a constitutional-based candidate, they are not seeing clearly within the Constitution itself the right to life. You cannot take someone's life in the 14th Amendment without due process of law.
Yeah, you cannot deprive someone of
life, liberty, or property without due process of law.
That's right. That means to intentionally kill someone, you would have to have convicted them of a capital crime. And unborn children are innocent. And as the preamble of the Constitution says, we secure these rights for ourselves and our posterity. Well, an unborn child qualifies as both. That child is ourselves, and it is our posterity. So you can't deprive that child of life unless you convict him of a capital crime. And so those who say they're constitutionalists, and they use that as an excuse for apathy and to adopt a public position that they think will get them more votes, is despicable, because they should say that the God-given right to life is the foundation of all rights, and no state has the authority to trade away a child's God-given right to life.
And that should be the church's position.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not, because
no.
National Right to Life for a quarter century has said things like, well, the Christian position is you got to wait 24 hours until you kill the baby, or some people think 48 hours, or the clinic where they kill the baby has to be nice and clean and tidy, or you have to sign this paper, or you need your parents' knowledge that you're having an abortion before you kill the baby. They have made the issue of child killing so convoluted that Christians forget that the God-given right to life is at stake.
That's right. And we're talking about God's right to life.
Right. Yes. It comes from Him.
Absolutely. And you can join the discussion. Maybe you have a question for Bob or myself. Bob, you mentioned that there's going to be a pro-life summit. Colorado Right to Life was booted out of National Right to Life's convention, and you guys just turned that whole thing right on its head, didn't you?
We really did. It was a wonderful and joyous time. Even though National Right to Life kicked us out, and they've been doing this for a quarter century, they've been kicking out entire state Right to Life groups and county chapters and leaders, because, for example, National Right to Life and their chapters will endorse pro-abortion candidates. As long as the candidate has an R, is a Republican, they find a way to actually endorse the same candidates that Planned Parenthood endorses in races. They have lost their way. They no longer are honoring God's enduring command, do not murder. They've been sucked into the competition of the political game. And so Colorado Right to Life hosted a hospitality suite 40 floors above the National Right to Life Convention in Kansas City. We treated people like kings and queens. Hundreds of National Right to Life activists and leaders came up to the top of the Hyatt Regency there, and they saw our DVD, Focus on the Strategy 2. They read the full-page newspaper ads, and it appears in Christian publications like Human Events, conservative publications. They saw how brutally wicked the partial birth abortion ruling is, how National Right to Life has led a Christian movement into secular humanism and moral relativism, and so many have pledged to us to recommit themselves to fighting this battle on a biblical foundation of upholding God's enduring command, do not murder.
Bob, there's some folks that are probably listening, well, what could possibly be evil about banning partial birth abortion? They might have just tuned in to what we're talking about.
Right.
Give them some specifics that are actually in the ruling.
Okay.
That many of our religious leaders are jumping up and down and saying, hey, this is a victory, it's a victory. They obviously haven't read the ruling if they're saying it.
Yeah, that's right. Judge Roy Moore on our radio show in Denver just a few weeks ago came out publicly. He said, when I read the ruling, I realized how evil it was. He said that in 2007, the U.S. Supreme Court would affirm the right to kill innocent children. And one of the quotes he pulled out of the ruling was the one that says that you can give a lethal injection to the fetus to kill it if you want to pull the baby out intact, all in one piece. That is one example. The ruling goes on page after page of saying you could pull the baby out to the belly button, you can kill it, you can tear off arms or legs, you can kill that baby in so many different ways, including by traditional partial birth abortion, depending on the circumstances and the intention of the abortionist. And so World Magazine just did an article last week saying what we said from the first day, from the analysis of the ruling that we published at Colorado Right to Life, that in fact major hospitals have standardized a procedure of giving a late-term fetus a lethal injection. You kill the baby, then you pull it out. And that's why Dr. Dobson was compelled to admit, and this is what he wrote in his newsletter in May, that ending partial birth abortion does not save a single human life. That is true. And increasingly, leaders like Alan Keyes and Judge Roy Moore and Judy Brown and the head of Operation Rescue, the Reverend Flip Benham, and on and on and on, Christian leaders, Brian Rohrbaugh, are saying this was a grave mistake. For 15 years, we went down a dead end, and now, millions of dead children later, we realize it was an error.
I admit, too, that early on, I thought, hey, this is a great thing. We need to get behind this. We got to ban this thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and the concept was actually not valid.
The concept was, here's a horrific style of abortion, and we want to end the specific procedure.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, the concept there was, okay, let's at least stop this. In the argument of Janet Folger, she says, look at how many people paid attention to abortion that wouldn't have, because now we could show them this.
No, all we've done is pushed the crime of abortion back into the darkness of the womb, where it can lurk out of sight. Finally, we had a form of abortion where the victims became obvious, and we should have used that grave brutality to fight for the God-given right to life of the unborn. Instead, we fought for a regulation that says, kill the baby in a different way, and don't make us look at it. Don't do it outside the womb, do it inside the womb. And that was brutally wicked. It would be as though the Germans said, we can't bury Jews alive. It looks terrible. While they're sleeping in their barracks, let's just put in a gas that kills them calmly in their sleep. And the Christians say, yeah, let's kill them calmly in their sleep so we don't have to show them gasping under the dirt as we bury them alive.
All right. We're speaking with Bob Enyart about the partial birth abortion ruling and also their new project, Focus on the Strategy 2. Mm. And on the other end of our line is Mary from Bowling Green. Mary, go ahead.
Hi. I really appreciate your program. I was pretty surprised and actually shocked to hear some of the things I heard. And my question is, how do I know who to listen to when I'm hearing about a bill. Now it's confusing because I get the National Right to Life newsletter, and I've listened to Dr. Dobson for many years. Where can you go to get a good balance?
Wow, that's
view of, you know, how do you know who to listen to?
Great question, Mary, and Bob's got an answer.
Well, tuning into Mark Siffer's show week after week will help because, Mark, I have known you for years, and you've done what most Christian hosts don't do. You dig in, you look up the rulings, you look up the laws, you read them, and you find out that often they are not what they're presented to be. And so, Mary, in this case, Colorado Right to Life and all the leaders I've been mentioning have been urging Christians to read the ruling. And we have now heard from literally hundreds of Christians who have read this ruling, and typical comments, they get physically ill. So many women have called or written and sent emails and said as they read the ruling, they cried actual tears because of how brutally wicked it is.
Yeah, Mary, here's what happens in a nutshell. Okay, you have religious leaders, people who've done a great work. We love Dr. Dobson. We love these people and what they've done for the family and for helping in a lot of areas. But what will happen is they get into Washington, and somebody takes them aside and says, look, you know, a half a loaf is better than no loaf. If you do this, if you compromise here.
And then pretty soon, National Right to Life is opposing personhood amendments and abortion bans, and they're endorsing pro-choice Republicans.
When it comes to the pro-life issue, and Bob said this earlier, Mary, and I think this is the one thing that will cut through all the noise and make it a whole lot less confusing for you. Our right to life comes from God. No man can take that from us. In the Declaration of Independence, it says our unalienable rights. Nobody can take it from you because it's God-given. And if someone doesn't understand that, then they don't understand the issue.
And so any law, here's what we use to determine whether a pro-life leader or law is correct. Any law that ends with, and then you can kill the baby,
bad law,
is a bad law because it violates God's command, do not murder. So any law, Mary, that ends with, and then you could kill the baby, is a bad law. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. And I, going back to what you said about candidates who go to Washington and they're taken aside and all that, well, in this election coming up, if we're given choice with just two candidates and only one of them is leaning pro-life, but they're not real strong pro-life, what do you do
well,
in an election like that?
First of all, there's never only two, but Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, Rudy Giuliani is a radical child killer. He, for years, has even supported partial birth abortion. He supports not only homosexuality, but homosexual marriage. So this is where the pro-life confusion in the secular humanism and moral relativism has brought us, where now thousands of pastors, Christian talk show hosts, leaders, authors, columnists are flirting with or openly supporting Rudy Giuliani. So
Mitt Romney, for that matter.
Or Mitt Romney, who lies to us. You can document he's lying to us when he says he became pro-life. He is a liar, and he has found out that Christian pro-lifers, they actually like to be lied to. They like to be lied to because every election cycle, they say, if you will only lie to us, we will give you money and vote for you because we want to have a place at the table. And so we have to realize that when talk show hosts like, for example, Sean Hannity, when he just loves Rudy Giuliani and he gets so angry at Michael Vick for abusing dogs, which was cruel and wrong, but Rudy Giuliani supports ripping up babies in the womb through all 9 months of pregnancy. He is a brutally wicked child killer, and Sean Hannity loves Rudy Giuliani. So he comes to this place because he is a moral relativist. He believes that the God-given right to life is negotiable.
I guess, Mary, in the end, the best thing to do is don't try to get your information on what you're going to decide from the television set. Turn on WPOS.
Well, thank you. Keep it up.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks for calling. And you can call, too. This is Public Impact Live, 419-867-8673. We are here to help. We're open to the public so you can have an impact on your community.
Mark, when somebody says, well, you got to choose A or B, a wise man often chooses C.
Exactly. I just get so frustrated with hearing over and over again
right.
the devil's choice. You know, and it's and there's never only two choices.
Yeah, and that is the devil's game. He has two evil people, and he puts an ugly face on one, and all the Christians say, oh, support the other. And
yeah.
So Jesus Christ, he was asked, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? But Jesus Christ is a wise man. He's God, our creator. He didn't choose A or B. He chose C. He said neither. And
right.
So when somebody says, well, who are you going to support, Hitler or Stalin? Hillary or Rudy Giuliani? Somebody who wants to kill 100 kids in a school and someone who wants to kill one kid in the school, who are you going to support? And if you're a murderer, you can decide. But if you are determined to oppose anyone who would intentionally kill a single innocent child, then you should say, I will oppose them both. I do right, and I risk the consequences.
Right, and also the time to pay attention is when the primaries are going on and there's a whole bunch to choose from. That's when you're supposed to be paying attention the most.
That's right. We've been telling people that AlanKeyes.com, there's a pledge, and he is the one pro-life Republican candidate running for the nomination who is utterly opposed to regulating child killing, to saying, well, if you sign this paper, then you could kill the baby. And he says that is wrong because we are convincing our judges that it's okay to regulate killing innocent children. And so all
right.
of our judges reject the personhood of the child, all of them.
Bob, we're just about out of time. This hour has just flown by. Thank you so much for being here today. And tell the folks how they can get that DVD, 40 Years in the Wilderness, Focus on the Strategy 2.
That's right. Focus. In fact, if they call today or go to our website, kgov.com, we will send them both DVDs if they buy one. It's Focus on the Strategy 2. The sequel is the one that right now is a semifinalist in a film festival. They go to KGov, KGOV.com, or they call our phone number, 800-8-N-YARDS. That's my last name, 800-836-9278.
All right, Bob, thanks a lot. And Lord willing, we get to do this again tomorrow.
God bless you, Mark Ziffer. That was exciting to be on in Toledo for an hour yesterday, and I've been there in the past on the air, by phone, and in studio, in fact. And so we have a good relationship with Mark, as with Christian ministries around the country that are part of this groundswell, this awakening of Christians, that there is right and wrong that applies also to the pro-life movement. It's not as though anything you did in the name of the pro-life movement is automatically justified. We are obligated to honor God and obey his commands, do not murder. Few news stories. By the way, our phone number here is 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. This evening, my son will be playing ice hockey with the Avs, right? On the ice. Well, it'll be in between periods. He'll be one of the mites, and so we're going to go see him. And that's so exciting. It's thrilling. Colorado Rockies are in the World Series. That's exciting. So there's a lot happening in Colorado, but I want to mention this story out of Maine, this middle school, where they're making an effort to prescribe birth control pills. They already distribute condoms to kids, boys and girls, ages 11 through 13 in Maine in some of their middle schools. In the King Middle School, is seeking to be the first that will also prescribe birth control pills to girls ages 11 through 13. And last year, 134 of their students visited with their parents' permission. You need permission like one time in the year to go to the school's health center. And once you have that permission, then the school can give your kids birth control. They've been giving out condoms, and the students, by law, don't have to tell their parents they're going to the health center to get birth control pills or condoms or whatever. And so According to the Department of Health and Human Services in Maine, there's, 13% of middle school kids in Maine have had sex, full sexual intercourse, 13%. And Nancy Berkheimer, the director of teen health programs for the Maine Department of Health and Human Services, says that is more than 1 in 10 students. So she figured that out, and she's right. And this is, of course, where it's all headed. In California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the hardcore pro-homo, pro-abortion, anti-Christian governor of the state of California, who was elected with the widespread support of many Christian conservatives, signed a bill, what was it, SB 77 out there, that basically adds homosexual interest to the curriculum and the entire functioning of their entire education system in California, warning textbook makers that you better not do or say or put anything in your textbooks that could be construed as biased against homosexuals. So in England, just what, a year ago, they told their teachers, we don't want you using the words mom or dad, mother, father, husband, wife. Don't use those words. Don't use the word marriage or marry. It's common in American school districts. They don't speak of marriage any longer. But now in California, it looks like they're headed that direction also. Don't even, maybe they will interpret this law to say don't even mention a mom and a dad because that's discriminatory. And also we have this typical trend in America of the bad behavior defense. Remember when Reginald Denny was beat almost to death in the L.A. riots and the attackers who beat him? What was their defense? Wasn't it something like, well, judge, it was a riot. What did you expect us to do? It was a riot. It's the bad behavior defense. The Duke University lacrosse players, right? It was, of course, criminal what happened to them, against them, the perjury. But what their defense is, hey, we were just hanging out with strippers at a college party. That's pretty bad, right? And the media has given them a pass. Of course, that is despicable behavior. Despicable behavior, treating women like dirt, like filth in the gutter as part of your college experience. And then there's this woman in Pennsylvania who was arrested for swearing at her toilet. An off-duty cop was her neighbor and got sick of her yelling at an open window. And her defense is, hey, I might have been cussing and using four-letter words, but I was just cussing at my toilet. It was overflowing. So these are the bad behavior defenses that are so common in America. People don't even notice it, it seems. So, hey, Bob and Yurt Live, you've been listening on the internet at KGov, KGOV.com, and on the air at AM 670 KLTT, the 50,000-watt most powerful Christian radio station in America. So please tune in tomorrow and in Arvada, Maranatha Christian Center. What a great school, Maranatha.